Praise God. It's good to be physically back home. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know whether you missed me, but me, I missed you. Hallelujah. I just felt lonely wherever I was. Ah, where is my church? But it's good to be back home. I love you guys. Great to be back. Hallelujah. And even those that don't like me, it's still good to see you. And it's good to be back. And I'm back. You thought I won't come back, but I'm back. Hallelujah. Please shake somebody, hug somebody beside you. Welcome them once again to church. Hallelujah. I like that couple's game. Did you see when they said, who apologizes first? I just thought, no, it must be the woman. I never expected it. Because you look so gentle. I thought, Jesus. I never expected it. Then did you see the song the choir did? The songs. See, for those of you that are offended, we are many. Just to Kana. I'm not coming to this church again. So if you're in that category, we're in the same WhatsApp group. They are just too Kana for us. This is not what we came to church to do. But again, in that WhatsApp group, I'm going to encourage all of us in that WhatsApp group, let's not leave these people. They are too Kana. If we leave them, they will spoil finish. Let's stay here and be helping them. Get Rabbi. Let's stay and help them. Praise God. So, me, Jethro, and those, all the other people. No, Pastor Emmy, another. It's me, Jethro, and Co. That are very spiritual, that we don't like the kind of carnality on the altar. The only reason we are staying is to help the rest. So don't leave here. Don't leave this church because of the carnality you saw. We are here to help them. Jesus was sent to save the lost. Jesus was not sent to those that are healed, was sent to those that are sick. So that's why we are here. We are sent to these people in this church. We will help them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today's relationship goals, they've used the whole time to groove. So I will just share briefly. And but have you been enjoying the whole series Bullseye? Been amazing. And I hope you are setting goals and working towards it. And we're still working on some logistics. So next Sunday, we might be able to do something. We're not sure yet, but we're working on one logistics for next Sunday. So that even after service, we'll have some smaller meetings to help you trash out your goals properly. But we'll let you know that next Sunday, if it's going to happen. Praise God. Or at least during the week. I hope you belong to a church WhatsApp group or something so that you can get the information when it is ready. Praise God. Okay, so relationship goals. And I said there's a couple in the Bible that is the best couple that I feel all of us should have as relationship goals. But before I go ahead and say that, I want to say this, that marriage is such an important thing, all right? We live in a time where such things are being attacked, but we need more and more people to speak positively. That's why I was happy a lot of people were posting their pictures during Valentine. I understand some of those couples are even struggling. Some of them are even at the verge of separation, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes those posting are just a small sign of hope and faith that this institution can still work. Praise God. So don't let those things annoy you. Because I know some people, when they see some couples that they know they fight a lot and they are posting on Valentine, they say, these ones. No, it's faith. It's a demonstration of faith. Do you understand? So don't yemu for them. It's faith. I know Nigerians. I know these people, they fight. They don't love themselves. But today, they don't post themselves. They are taking the right action. All right? It's by faith. You start to put in the effort and the marriage begins to work. They shouldn't give up. So God believes so much in marriage. That's why when God made Adam, the first thing he made Adam was a husband. All right? The first thing he made Adam was a husband. He didn't make Adam a principal or a VC or a prime minister or a pastor. He made Adam a husband because God's faith is that marriages and families is what will change this world. God had so much faith in families that he made Adam a family man. He made Adam a husband and a father. He would have made Adam, like I said, if God believed government would change his world, he would have made Adam a president. He would have made Adam, a prime minister. He would have made Adam, even if God felt school is what would change his world, he would have made, or education, he would have made Adam a principal. He would have made Adam a pastor. The family is even supposed to be stronger than church. In fact, that's why we do some kind of things we do in this church. Because a church, see, some of you don't have a good family experience. That's why we're trying to do what we do. You see us singing, music that looks like worldly music. It's not worldly music, it's love music. And God is love. And in a house, it's not only preaching that they preach. You play in a house. You see love in a house. Some of you, the house you are coming from, you didn't have that experience. Everybody was serious. Everything is serious. When your father enters, he's the lion of the tribe of your flat. Once you hear his horn, pam, pam, everybody go under bed. So you've never had an experience where you can be free with your father. That's why we're doing things like this in church, so that you can be free with your heavenly father. For some people are too serious. Everything in life is too serious. We don't laugh in church. A church is also a family. It's also a family. Because a lot of problems we deal with as pastors is people that came from families that didn't have a good family experience. And they come here and they can't relate with other people. They can't, you know, adapt to relating with other people easily. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So God believes so much in family, he even put it above the church. He said, for you to even be a bishop, you must be the husband of one wife, and you must be able to run your family well. That if you can't run your family well, then how can you run the church well? In other words, God is saying the criteria to even become a bishop is that you must be running family well. So he put family above church. Left to God, if all families were running well, we can even do without church. Somebody getting what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you how important family is and how much faith God has in families. God has so much faith in families. Every arm robber came from a family. Every prostitute came from a family. As a pastor, I can tell you for free, statistically also, that most people that are living wayward lives today, if you trace it, a lot of the challenges started from their family life. Either they were neglected, they were over-pampered, they were spoiled. If you check it, it's from their roots. They were ignored, they were neglected. It's there. Because family life is the first thing that impacts you and shapes you. And for those of you that are thinking of breaking your marriage or you have already separated, you know, you must factor in your children if you already have children. It will impact them, please. It will impact them. I know this after 20-something years of teaching and mentoring people in marriage and relationship. I know for sure that your background has a way of affecting you. Your normal is based on what you have seen. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Your normal. Whatever you call normal is based on what you have seen. Extreme poverty is not good. It affects people. Sometimes when they... See, we're all talking about Kobe Bryant that died in a helicopter crash. Picture that the helicopter didn't crash. For the children, helicopter will be their normal. The way you park car in your house is the way their father park helicopter. By the time they grow, they won't be among those saying, why are pastors driving jets? They just think, oh, it's normal. People have planes. It's probably people that can't imagine it, that it prepares their body. You don't know it, but your experience affects how you see life. It affects how you see life. Statistically, they found out children that grow with parents that own their own house are more likely to also own a house compared to children that grow with parents that rented house all through. Because as that child grows in a house that the parents own, it's a normal thing. It just is registered as normal. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So factor in. If you're a single parent too, factor in your children. Try not to use your children to fight their baby daddy or whatever. Try not to do that, because a lot of people do that when they are separating or they are divorcing. They'll forget about the children. It will affect them. Can you guys find a way, an amicable way, to deal with the issues? Because whatever decision you make is not affecting only you. It's going to affect them. Statistically also, people that come from homes that are broken have more challenges dealing with broken homes when they grow. These are statistics. It's not me just saying it. Abroad, places where they have statistics, they found out that most men in prison, about 70% of men in prison, grew up in homes without a father. So they say when a child, a boy especially, grows in a house where there's no father, there's a high chance he will self-destruct or end in prison. So factor that in. I have a book here titled, When Am I Ready? Because of I don't have time to teach, I'm going to be recommending books. If you're a member of this church, I go around the world, and people rush these books, and people rush it. Then you that are in this church, you don't read, you don't learn about marriage, because you see me every day. The worst thing you can do is to go and tell anybody anywhere in this world that you attend this church and your marriage failed. They will know your ear. This thing here is not, you're not using it for hearing. It's just for earring. You're not using it. You're not hearing with it. So for you to be a member of this church and you're not feeding on marriage, listen, why? We shouldn't be surprised that marriages are failing. People, I mean, we see people that are successful lawyers, but they are unsuccessful in marriage. We see people that are successful engineers, they are unsuccessful in marriage. We see people that are successful doctors, they are unsuccessful in marriage. Why? They spent 7 years studying medicine. They spent 7 years studying engineering. They spent 7 years studying law. And they spent zero time studying marriage. So we shouldn't be surprised that they are succeeding in their career, but they are not succeeding in marriage. They've never read one book. Never listened to a message. Never attended a seminar. They've never paid any attention. Many people think marriage just works by chance. It doesn't happen like that. So if you're here, a single person, the first book I want to recommend is called When Am I Ready? When Am I Ready? It talks about you being whole. You must be whole before you can marry well. It is two whole people that make a good marriage. How do you know you are whole? You must first be properly single before you can be properly married. Many people are not properly single. They are just desperate. If you are still here and Valentine fever caught you this period, then you are not yet single. When you are single, it means you are singled out. You are separated. That's what the word single means. You are separated. You are singled out. You are all in one. That's what God meant when he said it's not good for man to be alone. Adam was not lonely. Adam was alone. It means all in one. He was singled out. He was separated. You are at that stage where whatever is happening in people's life doesn't threaten you. It doesn't intimidate you. Just because everybody's posting their picture doesn't get to you. When Adam was in the garden, all animals had spouse. Only him was alone and it didn't intimidate him. They were posting their own picture too during Valentine. And it didn't get to him. Adam never prayed for a wife. It was God that said, I want to hook this guy up. You must enjoy your life so well that God will see you as a blessing to somebody. Not that you are praying out of desperation. Thank you, the two people that are clapping there. Not that you are crying out of desperation. Valentine again! I'm alone again! God, when? Those of you in that WhatsApp group, God, when WhatsApp group? You better exit that group. Don't think like that. You know, you should be happy for people that are celebrating love. That's fine. It should not make you feel inferior or less than who you are. If those things still get to you, then you are not yet whole. You are not ready because you will most likely enter a relationship for the wrong reason. That takes me to the next book I want to recommend. It's titled 25 Wrong Reasons People Enter Relationships. It's titled 25 Wrong Reasons People Enter what? Relationship. Let me be showing you the books. Yeah? It's on the screen. When am I ready? Sweetheart, do you have this book? Come, let me give you. It's Valentine's gift. I wish I had time. I would have signed all the books. Please make sure I sign before the second service so that the one for second. If you are here and you're saying, oh God, let me win, you go and buy. Is this poverty mentality I'm against? Buy and buy for people. So if the Valentine fever is getting you, there's likelihood that you are pressured to marry for the wrong reason because it's Valentine. So you need to get 25 wrong reasons people enter relationships. Marrying because you are lonely is one of the wrong reasons people enter relationships. And I said in this book that if you marry for the wrong reason, you will most likely marry the wrong person. It's a Muslim that typed this book. She was begging us to buy it, to copy it. Because the book was so good. 25 wrong reasons. If you don't go through such a thing, you won't check your heart. See, sometimes your motive. That's why the Bible is powerful. The Bible is the only book that when you are reading it, it's also reading you. Because sometimes you'll be reading the Bible, something will just stand out. You just know God is warning you. So when you read good books like this, you might not know the motive why you are doing what you are doing. You are just suddenly, seriously lonely now because it's Valentine period. But you say, lover's day, I don't have a lover. But unemployed people are not this depressed in worker's day. They don't have work. 25 wrong reasons. So you need to know why you are marrying. Don't marry for the wrong reason. You have most likely married the wrong person. And the whole foundation will be faulty. So get this one. It will censor you if you're a single person. Who is single there that I can give it to? Lady in red, are you single? Come, let me give you. Praise God. Thank you. And for those of you that are single, you can see I said she's single. So look into. And in case they come and meet you, my dear, you need this book. It's titled Seven Questions Wise Women Ask. When a man is coming to you as a woman, there are seven questions you need to ask him. You won't ask it like exam, because men are very trickish. You will ask it subtly, like gist, but you will get what's in their heart. There are seven questions. One of the questions is when. If a guy wants to marry you, ask him when. For a woman, time is precious to you. Time doesn't work the same way for you that it works for a man. A man can play around till he's 42, play around till he's 52, and still marry and have all his children. If a man keeps you around till you are 38, you are entering the dying minutes of the match. Those are injury time. That's what they call it for those people that play local football. It's injury time. And of course, the older you are too, you will have to deal with giving birth. It's better to do all those things when you are young. So there are seven questions wise women should ask. They are all here. If you're a wise woman here, you don't yet have this book, that is a problem. So get this book. Let me look for a wise woman. In cap, with question mark, come. Because you already went question mark. So we should give you seven questions wise women ask. Oh yeah, take. I'm not just trying to sell books. I'm actually teaching you. All right? And I'm actually encouraging you. Your relationship with knowledge will affect your outcome. I'm yet to meet a poor man that really knows about money. It's hard. He'll just be arguing. He has never really gone to learn. There's no mystery in money. Money answers to value. If you give value, you'll get money. There are so many instruments, money instruments for investment in Nigeria that you can sit in your house and make money. There are people making millions start standing from their house. You are just not knowledgeable about it. There are many instruments, money instruments that people are using in this country. They'll just keep it for 1 month in a bank or in some institutions like that. And the money, I'm not talking about MMM type, oh, not magical, not those people that put on Instagram, trade millions, so not that type, oh, not betting. I mean legit stuff, but it's knowledge, but you don't know. So there are people that still have money in savings account in 2020. It's knowledge. So your relationship with knowledge tells me how far you will go. Then I have one here. Seven qualities wise men want. If you're a wise man here, you need to know the qualities you're looking for. You don't just marry because of beauty. They say beauty is vain. Charm is deceitful. Say a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The guy in white shirt. Are you single? Oh yeah. Come and see the qualities. Next time, sit in front. Everybody, if you want to be. These ones. I love these ones. All year round. Should I give this one out? No. It costs. Go and buy it as Valentine gift. Mommy and Daddy, do you guys have it? Okay, please come. Let me give you. Come, come. It's all year round for men, all year round for women. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Daddy sent me a DM on Valentine's Day to remind me to buy cake for Pastor M. He sent me a DM that to remind me to buy cake for Pastor M. Because he came on Pastor M's life prayer and they were talking on the life prayer and she said he's going to remind me. And truly, he did. So, if you're a married couple, you can clap for them one more time if you want to. If you're a married couple, you need the all year round. It will help you make investments into your spouse every day. 52 tips for 52 weeks. A beautiful book. Invest in your own self. Then we have who should I marry? If you're a single person, most single people don't know qualities to look out for in a spouse. Who should I marry? One of the reasons why I have a great marriage is that because I first married the right kind of person. It's not everybody you can marry. Even just because both of you are Christians, both of you attend the same church, it's not still everybody you can live with. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not everybody you can live with. There are 10 C's I mentioned here. One of it is that the person must be in Christ. Another one is that there must be some level of compatibility. Compatibility doesn't mean similarity. Compatibility means your ability to get along easily. For instance, my wife likes to cook. Me, I like to eat. We are very compatible. Praise God. So who should I marry? I listed 10 things here, and they are all C's. I want to see who I can give it to. Like I said, though, even if we don't give you, I'm serious about you going to buy the books and investing in yourself. Not because I'm trying to sell books. All right, please, I need you to understand that. I need you to invest in your own marriage. Okay, so you're married? Okay, the guy in blue, come. I've not given any man. Okay, I've given one man, but let me give this guy too. Come. All right. Then there's the classic one. This is our best-selling book, A to Z of Marriage. A to Z of Marriage. When you go to school, what's the first thing they teach you? A to Z. Because we can't teach you anything after that if you can't even understand alphabets. So this is A to Z of Marriage. So whether you're single or married, this book will help you. This book will help you whether you're single or married. I and my wife dealt with marriage in alphabetical order for both men and women. So I spoke to the women, telling them what love means to a man. My wife spoke to the men, teaching them what love means to a woman in alphabetical order. So the first thing we did is A is for me. I taught women that A for men is for acceptance. The best way to influence a man is to first accept him. I'm not talking about accepting bad behavior now. I'm talking about a man you are in a relationship with or you are married to. If you want to get him to do things, you must first accept him for who he is. I'm not talking about bad behavior now. I mean acceptance. So for instance, because men naturally lack acceptance. That's why men move in groups. They move with their friends. They like acceptance. Wherever they are accepted, they go there. Wherever they are being corrected and blamed all the time, they run from there. All right? They like acceptance. That's why a lot of men like bear parlor. I'm not talking about the men here. I mean men outside. They like bear parlor because in bear parlor, there's 200% acceptance. There's nothing you want to say you have done that anybody will judge you in bear parlor. If you say, I just kiss somebody, they say, hey, you're a bad guy. You. That's bear parlor. Everybody's okay. No matter what you say, I carry three women, they will hail you. Everybody's drunk there. So men like acceptance. So if your wife, a girlfriend, whatever, A for men is acceptance. If your husband is the type of person that eats loudly, don't go there and say, you're smart, you're this bushman, you're disgracing yourself. Because men are warriors. If you confront them, they will fight you even if you are correct. Because he's a natural warrior. So you don't confront him, you stand by his side. When you stand by his side as his ally, anything you tell him from the ear like this, he will hear. Because he understands you are not confronting him, you are not his enemy. If you stand in front of him, his reflex action is to fight you back. So if he's eating loud like that, tell him that, honey, I like the way you enjoy food. You just enjoy your food. You even hum when you're eating. You enjoy food. I wish many men can enjoy food like this. He was saying, thank you. When it's happy like that, but you're not telling that. But you know when you go for those your international meetings or board meetings or you go for business meetings, you can't eat like this there. Because they'll be laughing at you. You see, right now you've advised him. He will do like he has not heard, but he has heard. Because here you're by his side. For the women, we taught the men that A for women is attention. Women like attention. Women like to be noticed. That's why they do all the wahala to look good. Women like to be noticed. They like attention. So your wife can't enter the room and you don't look up to greet her well. You don't stop what you're doing to see her coming in. You just face what you're doing. Say, hey, come, welcome, welcome. Serve food already. Do the food. No, you need to stop what you're doing. Women are not hard. Invest a few seconds and you'll be fine. She will free you. Just invest a few seconds by stopping what you're doing, looking up and noticing her. Notice something different. She can't change her hairstyle, you don't notice. Some men are like that. A woman has seen 3 hairstyles this month. It doesn't know. Just moving. Attention. Women like to be. Sometimes when they're giving you trouble, they just need attention. When you're not noticing them in peace, they will cause trouble so that you will notice them in quarrel. You like attention. She's talking to you. You can't be pressing your phone. Look up for a few minutes. Just a few minutes. Let her understand that you are listening. Attention. Women like attention. You can't live with a woman in the same house and every day you're never paying her attention. Sometimes she needs you to stop whatever you're doing and just come and stay with her. For nothing. Just come and stay with her. Say, how are you doing? What's happening? Just focus on her. She likes it. She thrives on attention. So give her attention. A is for attention. So, If you are single or married, this one will help you because everybody, you will still need to deal with the man sometime. So if you are single or married, you will need this one. So who should I give this one to? I'll give the lady there. Please come. You. No. You in glasses. Yes. And tell Paul that he says he should do his work. God bless you. All right. Let me try and preach today. Praise God. I have just 10 minutes or so to share. Do you want to know who the couple is that his couple goes? I can't hear you. Do you want to know the couple that his couple goes? Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 31. And these people, their couple goes for all of us, guys. If anybody that's buying the books today, if you meet me outside, I would like to sign your book. So, meet me outside, I would like to sign your book. And you can show it in the embassy. I am a member of this church and you will receive favor. Proverbs 31, NIV version from verse 1. We're going to rush. I just have 10 minutes. But what I'm going to share, I'll cram it into 10 minutes. I believe God will give us wisdom. It's not by the length, it's by the power. Are you here, somebody? Proverbs 31, because this relationship goals. My dream is that every man in this house will be the relationship goal kind of man, and every woman will be the relationship kind of goals kind of woman. Let's start. Proverbs 31, verse 1. It said, the sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. So this was the mother teaching the king some things. Look at verse 2. It said, listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. It said, do not spend your strength on what? Yeah. Woo! Straight on. Do not spend your strength on women. He said, your vigor on those who ruin kings. Is somebody get what I'm saying? She went straight on and said, hey, boy, control your sexuality. If you are going to be a relationship goals man, you must manage your sexuality. The best gift you can give your wife is fidelity. This Valentine, package your fidelity like this. That's the best gift to give your husband. I mean, your wife. For a man, if you're going to be a relationship goal kind of man, manage your sexuality. Men have a high tendency to stray. And women don't understand. Women say, why can't you people just stay one place? Listen. There's challenges. There's issue. There's issue. And I'm speaking for most of the men. Now, there are three categories of men. There's a small number that don't have any issue with womanizing at all. Small number. I don't know where they came from. I don't know why they are like that. But they come faithful from heaven. Very small. Maybe about 6 in the whole country. Very small number. I'm telling you, I'm your pastor. I'll tell you the truth now. Second category are those that come with this tendency but have begun to learn in the things of God, like this advice, to manage themselves because loose sexually destroys kings. So they are on a conscious effort to keep themselves. They are now consciously working by the grace of God, by the wisdom of God, by self-discipline to keep themselves. Then there's the third category who have given up on trying to keep themselves. So those ones are the ones you see everywhere. They toast everybody they meet. Have you met those people before? Everybody. They don't care. But they will toast the daughter, toast mother, anybody that agree. As long as the person is wearing skirt, they are going to toast that person. So those ones, they've given up on trying to control themselves. They've seen that come. This thing, you know, easy. Make adjust the flex. So those are the three categories. But the point is that majority of men come with that propensity. The way God created men have something, and women can't understand, so just try to understand. The sex drive in a man is different from that in a woman. So don't just think these men are useless. Mm-mm. The thing they are dealing with is not what you are dealing with. It's common biology. What men have is testosterone. What women have is what? Estrogen. I don't cuckoo know it because I don't have it. Estrogen or something like that. So the one that men have is part of what makes their sexual drive higher than your own. So when a man sees a woman, the way he wants to express love is physically. You as a woman, when you see a man, the first thing you're not thinking, you're thinking is not sex, you're thinking love. So it's like if a woman enters a room, she's not thinking, hey man, I'd like to sleep with all the men here. That's not what she's thinking. But if a man enters a room, he can be thinking like that all these girls are possibilities. Because he's wired like that. He's thinking about sex for him is a physical act. So if that's why, if you notice, from beginning of the Bible till the end, a lot of people dealt with it. Right from Adam to Abraham to David to Solomon to Isaac to Samson to David, all anybody want to mention, they all had to deal with it. Most of them had more than one wife. And even when it came to the New Testament in Timothy, when they were talking about the bishop, they said the bishop should be husband of one wife. For them to say it there. Because I didn't see anywhere they wrote that the bishop should not be somebody that is not be hired as a sin. They didn't say that one. But they said the bishop should be husband of one wife. Meaning that there were people there that had more than one wife. There were people that were even trying to be bishop with more than one wife. And I tell them, my brother, it can't work. Because it was a challenge. Now, this is not saying that as a man, this gives me freedom to mess around. That's not what I'm saying at all. You see the first warning. They said, don't give your strength to what destroys kings. So you be clear. Fornication and adultery will destroy you. I'm just trying to tell you that, look, if you're a man, you have to be conscious of this. If you allow yourself go, you will never fulfill your destiny. That's the first warning they gave. And for you to be the kind of man that produces the Proverbs 31 woman, that's relationship goals, then you must create a field of that level of safety. You must create a field of that level of faithfulness. So for all men, that should be a goal for you to create that. Let's move. He said, it's not, don't give, verse what is the next one? Four. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers to crave beer. Say, lest they drink and forget what they have, what have been decreed, and deprive all the oppressed and all that. They say, what, say, verse 6, let beer be for those who are perishing, and wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Basically, they are saying, look, you can't indulge in lifestyles that are destructive. I don't have time. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to go into. Maybe second service, I'll go into in detail. As a man, on that challenge you have, is that the part of you, there's something called the prefrontal cortex and some other things. I don't have time to go into details today. The point is that a woman from childhood quickly develops a sense for safety and a sense for danger. So women, are, when they are just small girls, their sense of danger is heightened. So a woman won't be here and decide to jump like this. She will naturally look for the stairs to go down. But you know, if you have boys as children, what are they going to do from here? They're going to jump. Because their own sense of danger and safety doesn't develop as fast. Even till they are very grown. And all these are scientifically proven. So that's why you notice, those that have statistics, you hardly hear that three women shot themselves yesterday. But you always hear that men, somebody shot gun and killed 30 men. There's a video online this week of somebody that used stone and killed another man. You will hardly see women kill themselves like that. But men always kill themselves. They have a low, you carry that big stone and hit somebody, you're expecting nothing will happen to him. Men have a low sense of danger. Women have a heightened sense of danger. So you can't involve in habits that can destroy you. Be careful of those kind of habits that can destroy you. It can go from pornography to different things, any destructive habits. You can't create a Proverbs 31 woman if you are destructive. The point is this, as a man, maybe I'll just use this service to talk to men and I'll talk to women in second service because no time again. The point is this, as a man, what makes you relationship goals according to this scripture is that this guy was able to, let me read about what this guy did. So that all of us will strive to be Proverbs 31 men. Even if you are single, it's now you will start to be that. See verse 8 and verse 10. He said, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has what? Because this scripture, we only read it most times for Proverbs 31 woman. But this is a family they were describing. It's a couple. It's couple goals. This is an idea of how a couple should be. This should be your couple goals. There's no other couple in the Bible that was this good. Even though these people might not be real people, but they were a picture. And there's no other goal that was said that's better than this. He said, verse 11, her husband has what? Fuck. Women need confidence to try. Your job as a man is to believe in her, not to belittle her. Those that are tweeting and doing quotes, that's a quote. Your job is to believe in her, not to belittle her. He said, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. He said, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She reflects, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is night. She provides food for her family and portion. She considers a field and buys it. This woman had investment mentality, not buying handbag, the post. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. That's still investment. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grabs the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor. She's generous and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for bed. She's clothed with fine linen. Her husband is what? Respected in the city gate. He's not doing things that will embarrass her. He's a pure leader. He's respected in the city gate. That means he's not a loafer. He's not the man that sits at home for her husband, for her wife, for his wife to go and work. Because some people think this scripture means that the woman was providing for him. No. It was a main man. For you to be among the elders in the gate, you can't be a loafer, you can't be a joneser, you can't be a joker. He was a leader. He was a respected person. He was probably in politics. If he's not in politics, he was so high ranking in the community that they invite him for council meeting. Somebody get what I'm saying? He was such a responsible man. Let's continue. He said, verse 24, she makes fine linens and all that. And verse 25, she's clothed with strength. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful in all that. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. There are some of you like every post on Instagram. There's no post I've seen that I didn't see your like. That's the bread of idleness. Oh. He said, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he what? Praises her. Today, this service, I'm focusing on the husband. He said, he praises her. He praises her. Listen, this man was able to provide a high-flying woman. For every man here, whether you're single or married, that is your task. The wife God gave you, what have you done of her? From the day they gave her to you and the day you finish with her, there should be a clear difference of your impact in her life. That's why you are called husband. Husband is from husbandry. Husbandry is talking about you building and catering and nurturing something. That's why the Bible said you must present, like just like the way Christ will present the church to himself without spot or wrinkle. That's how when you take a woman, you're supposed to build her up. That's why I love the kind of woman my wife is becoming. Every time her dreams are coming to pass, I'm excited. Because I knew how she was when she came to my house. And I can see how she is now. Somebody get what I'm saying? Yes, I know she might not be everywhere she wants to be yet. But I'm happy when I see her start doing some things that she loves to do. I ask her from time to time, what are your own dreams? Because she spends her whole life trying to bring my own dreams to pass. So I can't get carried away and say, I'm the leader. You see, man, you can't live that kind of selfish life. That woman too has a life. She too has dreams. And your job is to be like this Proverbs 31 man to build her up. Hallelujah. To nurture her. To build her up. Nurture her. Present her to yourself without spot or wrinkle. Instead of you complaining that see how fat you are. No, register her for a gym. Go with her to jog sometimes. Take a walk with her. Don't talk her down. Instead, speak her up. Women thrive in confidence when they are believed in. He said that man believed in his wife. You see, what happens to men is that instinctively, men are natural hunters. But they are not natural husbandmen. The hunting comes natural to most men. The nurture doesn't come natural to them. So that's why they struggle. That's why women, you notice that when a man is toasting you, he's doing everything right. He's a natural hunter. He knows to be sending texts. He sends you texts in the morning and in the night. He's checking on you throughout the day. I'm just checking on you. He will just buy you gifts from nowhere. Valentine, like this, he will take you out. Even when it's not Valentine, he will take you out to go and watch movie. The moment you agree. Most women have experienced this. Am I correct? The moment you agree, something locks his mouth. He can't even tell you are looking good again. You know why? He's a natural hunter. When he was hunting you, that skill comes to him naturally. So he was toasting you, was doing everything right, telling you are beautiful, I love you, I miss you. When are we seeing now? Let's go out this weekend now. He was the moment you agree. Being a husband man doesn't come to him naturally. He's clueless. She's just looking like, hey, what the hell is this man? He's clueless. That's why if you're a man, he must get my book all year round. Because that's what I did in that book. I coached you what to do after she has agreed. One tip every week for 1 year. Most men now become clueless. And what happens to men is that when they become clueless, and the woman is now always complaining, she's never happy again. She always complains, you don't take me out. You don't compliment me. You are never around to help me. You don't like me. She's always complaining and nagging. men run from areas they are not doing well. So because he feels he's not being a good husband or a good father, he will run from there, go back to hunting that he's good at. So that's why I see many men still chasing girls outside, because he's good at hunting. He's not good at nurturing. So he will go back and be hunting. If you're here and you're a man, don't go and hunt on that woman. Go and hunt money. And then train yourself on how to nurture a woman. Any woman God gave you, you need to ask yourself. Because when you stand before God, that's what God will ask you. What did you do with my daughter that I gave you? This is how she was when I gave her to you. At the end of life. Because many men think that on your last day, on your dying bed, it's not your office staff that will be around you. You spend your whole day in the office. By the time you get home, you are too tired to pour anything into your family. It's your family that will be with you on the last day. At the beginning, it's family that was with you. At the end, it's family that will be with you. So you need to build your wife up. You need to constantly ask her, what are her dreams? Look around her life. What areas is she not doing well? See, this man was able to produce that high-flying woman. Did you read that woman's resume? That woman was in every kind of business. And she still had time for family life. I'll talk to women about that tomorrow. Because woman, listen, just because you're doing well in business doesn't mean you neglect the family. This woman was doing well both in family and in what? Business. You don't have to lose anyone. With God, you can have it all. All things are now ready. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So for the men especially, I'm using this service to address you. Be a nurturer. Be a husbandman. Cultivate. That's what it is. Somebody that cultivates a field. Empty land. You cultivate it and plants start growing. Harvest start coming out of it. The woman in your hand, what have you made of her? How much of her dreams have come to pass? Can never forget. When I got married newly, my wife could not drive. I believe my wife is one of the smartest women in this world. But sometimes she doesn't think so. I say, trust me, I've met many women. You are one of the smartest. In fact, you are the smartest I've ever met. Hallelujah. Guys, hope you're learning how to talk to women. The Bible said that man had confidence in her. That's what made her to be moving with confidence. That's how to talk to your wife. Don't look for her faults. I'm saying, you never do this. You never. All that you say is what she never does. But you never compliment what she does well. I told her, look, you're one of the smartest. You're the smartest man I've ever met. You're incredibly smart. So I was teaching her how to drive. And we've done the lesson. She has learned how to drive. I said, you can drive. But she was never confident enough to drive. Never confident. She always wanted me to drive. I said, look, I can't be driving you around town. And I used to be able to drive. He said, no, I'm not sure. She can... You know what I did one day? We were going for midweek service. We were just getting dressed in the house. I came down. She didn't know. Entered bike or something. And went to church. She didn't know. So when she was with me, she just called me down. Where are you? We're not going to church. I said, I'm in church. I'm in church, so drive down. She can never forget that day. I said, drive down. Because I know she has the potential. I wouldn't have tried that if I didn't feel she could do it. I know she can do it. So for you to push your wives like that. They have so much gift, so much abilities, but they are scared. They need that confidence. Same thing if you have children. You need to challenge your daughters like that too. I entered bike and went to church. I said, I'm in church. Drive down. Drive down. And she drove down. That was the beginning of my liberty. She drove. I said, you can do it. I know you can do it. I know. Once I went for a program, she was supposed to park. And some people saw me, oh, pastor, let me help her park. I said, don't touch it. I was angry with them. You don't know where I'm coming from, what I'm trying to do. You want to come and help her? Help her about when I'm here. Move out of this place. I need her to learn how to park. Because I hate when women, you know, some women, drive. Some men know what I'm talking about. You know, some women drive. You just do that. So I didn't want my wife to be like, I want my wife to drive well. Like a man. She drives like that. So I said, no, I want you to learn it well. Your wife has potential. You need to farm that ground. You need to farm that ground. And you see, it depends on what you're farming. You know, if you farm corn, there's a price you get. If you farm cocoa, you have hammer though. If you farm, they know there's tank farm. You know the tank farm? If you farm oil, it's oil I'm looking for on your land. If you dig out oil in that woman, you have hammered for life. She has potential. Farm that land. Not just trying. That's why if you're a single man, you are dating a girl, the first thing you want to do is to sleep with her. You're not thinking well. You're planting the wrong seed.
What you should be building high is the righteousness, holiness, so that she will connect with God. There's so much in a woman. Farm that land. Be the one encouraging her to know God. Not that you're the one dragging her back. She's dragging you. Let's go to church. You're the one dragging. Don't understand. Farm that land. That's relationship goals. That guy, Proverbs 31 man, is a man all of us should emulate. Is a man we're totally proud of. He wasn't intimidated by her success. You know, there's some men that can't stand a woman that succeeds. Can't stand a woman that earns more than them. Are you kidding me? Ask my wife. I tell her every day, I want you to earn more than me. Because I know she loves me. She earns more than me, I will eat all her money. I don't have a problem with that. Ask her. And I love the great things I have in my life. She's the one that buys them for me. My first motorcycle, she bought it for me. It was in millions. So I have no issue with her prospect. I tell her every day, I want to eat your money. That's my vision. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's my vision. Grow that woman. Help her look for what she's good at. Maybe she tried one business, it didn't work. There might be something she can do well. Look well for her. Counsel her. Don't let her feel discouraged because she failed in one business and be insulting at you. I invested my money. Mm-mm-mm. Find out what were the mistakes in that one. You now put your own. When two heads come together, two should be better than one. Cultivate that woman. Hallelujah. Cultivate that woman. If you're a single person here, make up your mind today that any woman that God puts in your hand, by the time you're done with her, even God won't recognize her. Make that commitment to yourself, whether you're single or married. That's what they said in Ephesians, that he will present her to himself without spot or wrinkle. That means he cultivated her. By the time he presented her again, without spot or wrinkle doesn't only mean makeup. She has, her life has become better because she came into your life. See, she's giving me problem. Find out why she's giving you problem. Most women don't give you problem for nothing. It's either she's battling something from her past, then you must be patient because you have married her, you must be patient to help her deal with it. Or you are doing something that is annoying her. So she's giving you problem. You need to find that women are not just, they won't just give problem for no reason. Cultivate her. Cultivate her. And that man says something very interesting. Let's see as I close. He says, who knows the verse I stopped? 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. See 28. Her children arise and do what? Call her blessed. Wow. When I talk to the women in second service, we'll get to all those things. Verse what? He says, her children arise and call her blessed. He says, her husband also. He what? Praises her. Praises her. Men, from today, from the car, look for anything your wife is doing well and praise her. Leave the one she's not doing well. The way women work, when you praise her for the one she's doing well, she will strive. Women like attention. They like praise. She will strive to start doing well the one she's not doing well. Her husband praises her. I love this man. This is the real relationship goals. A man that is not intimidated by her success. He's doing well for himself too. He's by the gate in a serious elders meeting. Imagine a man that is in a meeting now with, what's our governor's name? The one that banned Okada. What's his name? Sorry, Sowolu. You know, imagine. And by the way, you know, when he was about to run for governor, we were among those that were invited to have meetings with him. So I'm one of the elders. You know, I was in a meeting with the elders. Femi, do best for me. Do T-shirt for me. Proverbs 31 man. Authentic. I was where when I was about to run for election. We're among those invited the senior pastors. In Lagos, and I was away in a dinner with him, and he was telling us his plans for Lagos. So that's how every man should desire. Be such a man that your wife will be proud of. They're having serious meeting, and the president invites you, and you're among the council. This guy was not intimidated by his wife's success. He was a successful husband of a successful wife. Because there's some men here, they don't do anything. Their wife is the one carrying the whole load of the family. And they're very comfortable. They sleep and wake up very comfortable. Your body's not preparing you. She's suffering, carrying the whole load of the family. and you are very confident and comfortable. He was an elder, successful man. He said he praises her. And see the praise. And this praise, I tell my wife this thing all the time. So I was happy to see this man copying me. He says, she praises her. And see what she says. She says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. You pass them. You surpass them all. Give me another version of that scripture. Give me a contemporary version of that scripture. He said, you surpass all of them. Give me on the contemporary version. Look. He says, many women have done wonderful things, but you have what? Outclassed them. Have you ever told your wife that? I've told my wife that many times. That you are the best. There's none like you. Baby. Love you. I love you. Any day, anytime. I'll marry you again and again and again. Hallelujah. And I'll cultivate you. All your dreams, as far as I'm alive and within my power, your dreams will come to pass. Even beyond whatever you have imagined. And we would have old people sex. Yes. We would live long together. We'll be together. Even when everybody in church has gone. After service, we'll still be together. We'll serve God together. We'll be partners in the work of our Lord. Because that's one of the things that helps couples. This couple, they were spiritual. The man said, beauty is vain. Charm is deceitful. He said, but the woman that fears the Lord. See, it takes a man that fears the Lord to value a woman that fears the Lord. This relationship goes, guys. This relationship goes. Because a man that doesn't fear the Lord, you know what he's looking for in a wife? Bum bum. See, hey, see that girl backside. That's what he's saying. His Chelsea, her Chelsea and her Arsenal are playing match. That's what he's thinking. But it takes a man that fears the Lord to understand that beauty is vain. Not by fine, fine girl. Say, charm is deceitful. He said, a woman that fears the Lord is the one we are looking for. It takes a spiritual-minded man to see spirituality in a woman. If you are here, you're a married couple. We are looking for couples that we host connect groups in their houses. If you are here, you're a married couple, you have a house, whether it's a flat or a house, and you want to volunteer your house. It doesn't mean you have to lead the connect group, but it will be hosted in your house. And you want to volunteer your house, please, after the service, go to the information desk and write your name. That's what you should be doing. Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira. They both plan not to redeem their pledge. That's the conversation they're having. I wonder the kind of children they are raising. Should we redeem our pledge? No, Joe. Mono redeemer. Say, they here. Pastor, don't buy a new car. The car I brought, my car is a mechanical. That's the church member's car I'm driving on. I have to say it to in Nigeria. Some guys say, with the new project, pastor, buy car. No, that car is a church member's car. My car is in the mechanical. Thank you. people. Because there are people that in their family, that's what they connive. I said, let's not redeem our pledge. Let's feed ourselves. Let's buy our own thing first before we honor God. They laugh, that's wrong, my brother. Why'd you go? That's head of prayer band. Please, they will think it's your prayer that have been answered. They don't know that we are praying. Somebody get what I'm saying? Cultivate your wife. Cultivate your wife. Cultivate your wife. And by the time you present her, everybody should be clapping when they see what you have made of her. They should be happy. My wife's mom in particular, she always sings for me because she's happy of how I'm taking care of her child. She always sings for me. She told me that time that make sure she learns how to drive. That me, till tomorrow I can't drive because her dad didn't insist. So she wanted me to make her daughter better, and I'm working. This government is working. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this morning?